Hello and welcome to The Good Robot Andy's Season 1, Episode 8. My name is Andy Balaam and this is...
Andy Cockerill.
And the film that we're going to be talking about tonight is...
John Wick.
John Wick. And we'll move swiftly on from the fact that we haven't got any feedback from anyone about anything.
We have precisely no feedback this week.
I'm pretty sure I thought at some point during the week... of something I was going to talk about in the feedback section. But I'm also absolutely certain I've forgotten what that thing was.
Do you mean something to do with Sorcerer or something in general?
Yeah, I don't, one of those two things, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got a little bit of feedback, actually, in that I posted a link to this on a social networking site.
Uh-huh. A popular social networking site or an unpopular one?
A very popular one.
Right.
That has the words book and face in it. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who I'm not sure whether he actually listens to this podcast, but he, when I posted that we were talking about Sorcerer, he said, classic, with an exclamation mark, great soundtrack. And he's very cine literate. He's a big fan of, I would say, that era of cinema. So he approved of us talking about Sorcerer.
Right. Yeah, I'm still divided about whether I'd like to watch it. But I kind of feel like I should, probably.
Actually, there is something else. Something that I forgot to talk about last week, but I'll very, very briefly talk about now, mm-hmm. is that the reason why I was wanted to talk about Sorcerer last week is because there's a remake being mooted.
Really?
A director called Ben Wheatley, who's made an awful lot of films in a very short period of time. He's a very prolific British director of sort of low to medium budget genre pictures. He made a movie called Sightseers a few years back.
Okay. Don't think I know it.
Then a movie called A Field in England, which was set during the English Civil War.
I've heard of that, I think, unless I've heard of the thing it's referencing.
Okay. And then most recently, he's just finished an adaptation of J.G. Ballard's High Rise, which is looking very exciting indeed. But he is looking to make a remake of, maybe not Sorcerer, but certainly The Wages of Fear, which is very interesting, because I think as a genre director, he could bring something quite interesting to that story.
Okay, so you don't think it's just where good directors go to have their doomed project?
Well, we will see, won't we? If he makes it and then disappears for a few years, then we'll know that's what's going on. Hopefully not.
Okay, so on to John Wick. Now, unfortunately, yes. I've seen a trailer for John Wick.
Yeah, it is a very recent movie.
Yeah, which made me slightly excited about watching it. So I'm very excited to hear more about it. But based on the title and having seen the trailer, which I think gives a very strong impression of the film, but could be wrong, I believe that John Wick is a action thriller starring Keanu Reeves as Keanu Reeves turned up to 11. It looks like it's full of the cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, like fighting and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That is fair. I think, I know that this is a very recent movie, but I watched it a couple of weeks ago. And utterly blew me away with the way that it's delivered.
That's interesting. So, because it doesn't look that special, it didn't look like it was. It looked like it would be fun, but not classic.
It is a lot of fun, but so anyway, yes. The synopsis is that, you know, you're kind of sort of in the ballpark of what it's all mm-hmm. about there. But John Wick is a retired hitman.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have a reputation for being very, very good at his job. But he's retired. He's married. But in a sort of pre-credits sequence, in a kind of Bond-style pre-credits mm-hmm. sequence, we see that his wife is very ill. By the way, listeners, if you've never listened to this podcast before, we're going to spoil it for you. So we're going to go into great detail.
What do you think you're doing, not having listened to? you should go back and address that immediately.
Yes, you should. Go and listen to everything. And then you'll understand what we're all about then. But so his wife gets very sick and she dies. And but she leaves him in her will, her sort of postpartum will, a puppy that he bonds with and grows to have affection for, and the puppy seems to like him. But then one day he runs into a bunch of Russian gangster ne'er-do-wells led by Elfie Allen, who is probably best known to most listeners as playing a character called Theon Greyjoy in HBO series Game of Thrones.
Okay, which I avoid.
Okay, so he plays...
Mind you, I don't think I've paid enough money to whatever man you have to pay enough money to be able to, allowed to watch it anyway.
Right, okay. So he plays a very similar character to the character of Theon Greyjoy in this film. And they first meet at, a gas station when this Russian gangster ne'er-do-well played by Alfie Allen takes a liking to John Wick's very nice Mustang car.
Mm-hmm. And I thought you were going to say his puppy.
No, not his puppy.
No. I like your puppy.
I like your puppy. I like your puppy.
Let's not do accents now.
Okay.
I'll cut that bit out.
Although I'm going to do an impression of Keanu Reeves later. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, that, Keanu Reeves is exempt from the no accents rule.
Okay. So they find out where he lives and they break into his house, and they beat him up quite badly, and in the melee, the puppy gets killed.
Hang on, they do this because they want to take his car?
And his stuff, yeah. So they turn his house over and...
Okay. Foolish.
They are extremely foolish. They don't know who he is, basically, because he's retired.
Yeah. I'm thinking that at some point later, I'm thinking he's back.
I think you might be right about that, and that may be the impression that I'm going to do later on. But anyway, he wakes up, and the puppy's dead, and he's utterly bereft. And then we see the Alfie Allen character, who goes to see his father, who's like this Russian kingpin type man, and his father asks him, you know, where did you get the car and that kind of thing, and he says, oh, there's this guy, he lives out here, and he says, where does he live? And what does he look like? And his father is pretty unimpressed with this. But of course, it's his son, so he says, well, look, I'm going to protect you, but I'm really unhappy with what you've done. Mm-hmm. Because you've brought, basically, you know, if John Wick decides to come after you, there's not a lot I can do to stop him. But I will do my best. So,
have you not heard of this guy, John Wick? He's like that bloke out of Payback.
He's like that. Yeah, and actually, this film has a resemblance to Payback.
Any film that has a resemblance to Payback is basically a good thing.
We should probably talk about very briefly about Payback. Payback's a film that you're very very enamored of, starring Mel Gibson, directed by Brian Helgeland.
It's the only film that pretty much any time someone suggests watching it, or I see it, I spot it on the shelf or whatever, metaphorically.
You've got to watch it.
I think, oh, I could watch that.
Yeah.
I've seen it so many times because you couldn't quite think of what to watch. It's like, oh, I could watch Payback.
You can watch Payback.
But yeah, what I love about it is the texture. Mm. The texture of the whole thing, and especially the character of Mel Gibson, where he subverts his usual troubled nice guy thing into just being
a
really
troubled
mean guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Payback's really good. It's a remake of a 1960s movie called Point Blank,
which I'd like to watch and have not watched.
It's very good.
Surely can't be as good as Payback.
Point Blank is very much of its time.
Mm-hmm.
So in many ways it looks fantastic, but it hasn't aged well in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Lee Marvin was probably, you know, the Mel Gibson of his time. You know, he was very cool on screen. So he brings that to the character. Mm. Anyway, mm.
So the yeah. excuse for mentioning Payback is that yes. it is a revenge
yes.
movie.
Yes.
With one guy up against the whole system.
Yeah. So the Russian
Which
Kingpin
I'm thinking
sends...
maybe this is similar.
Am it I is right? similar. The Russian Kingpin sends a bunch of cannon fodder guys to try and whack John Wick in his mm-hmm. house. Which of course they fail miserably as he takes them out one by one mm-hmm. in the coolest fashion. It's mm-hmm. just amazing, just beautiful to look at. I'm sounding like I really enjoy violence, and I don't. It's just that I enjoy coolly made films like this. Mm-hmm. But then John Wick phones a number and he says, in a Keanu voice, I'd like a dinner reservation for 8. And the voice at the other end says, yeah, absolutely, sir. And then a van arrives with a bunch of guys in, and they proceed to clean up the mess that he's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an introduction into a sort of shadowy underworld of hitmen and the whole business of being a hitman.
Okay. And he's still sufficiently connected to that world that he can get things cleaned up.
He's not completely out. Yeah, mm-hmm. let's put it that way. So these guys are, you know, part of a cleanup squad that, mm-hmm. that do this kind of work. And the next time we see, this organization is at a hotel in the city where John Wick goes. And this hotel is like a hitman hotel. It's a place where hitmen go to have a bit of rest and relaxation. Hitmen uh-huh. and women, I should say, go to have a bit of R&R. And it's run by the great Ian McShane, who British listeners will probably know as used to be Lovejoy on television. But
is he great?
He's fantastic. Him. Yeah, he's really good.
Oh, he's okay.
So he's the manager, he's the owner,
mm-hmm.
and the concierge is played by an American actor called Lance Reddick, who was in The Wire. Bald-headed black actor. I think he played the quite high up guy in the police force in The Wire. So he's the concierge. Oh.
And from one of the later, more
no,
later
he's,
series.
No, he's in it from the beginning. But I can't remember the name of the character that he plays.
No, that wouldn't help me anyway.
But there's another Wire actor in it. Very briefly, there's an actor called Clark Peters, who plays the older black detective in The Wire. I can't remember any of these characters' names. Apart from Jimmy McNulty, I can't remember any of the police... So John Wick goes here to sort of gather himself before the storm of what is coming.
Okay.
And he gets attacked whilst he's there by a member of the Hit Fraternity. But he escapes. He escapes and he heads for he's trying to find the Russian gangster's son, but he gets waylaid and he gets captured, and they are about to torture him. And this is where he says, "It's probably in the trailer." It's probably in the trailer, and he says, "People keep asking me if I'm back, and I haven't really thought about it. But yeah, I'm thinking I'm back." I don't know if that sounded anything like Keanu Reeves, but
I'm thinking he's back.
It's one of the coolest lines.
And I'm also thinking that that really reminds me of a bit in Johnny Mnemonic.
Yes,
that classic Keanu Reeves film.
Come on,
where he has a moment in the middle where he just gets cross and does a big long speech about how he wants to sleep in a bed with clean sheets. And
it's a perfectly reasonable speech to be having in the middle of Johnny Mnemonic.
And everyone's trying to cut off his head. It's his main complaint. And also he's supposed to save the world, and all he wants is like a TV and some clean sheets.
There's definitely an element of that in John Wick.
Definitely. John Wick is the most, one of the worst films there is, but also
one of the greatest.
It's a precursor to so many great things. Someone watched that film and appreciated it the same way I did, and thought we could make The Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
definitely.
How they saw that in him, I do not know. But I also really liked it. But I can't necessarily say why, given how bad it is.
Yeah, I know. Johnny Depp is bad. I mean, there are definitely elements of that in John Wick, but Keanu Reeves is older, and but he doesn't look.
He
that
looks
much.
Rougher.
He looks rougher.
Yeah.
But he doesn't necessarily look very much older. You know, he's got one of those kind of ageless type faces that just sort of keeps going forever.
But yeah, I think in the trailer that bit. Where he says, I'm thinking I'm back. I totally bought that. It's great.
It's fantastic. He then goes on to say, you can either hand over your son or you can die screaming with him. And you believe him.
Yeah.
You believe him, even though he's tied to a chair and he has got no hope of escape.
Yeah.
But of course there is hope because... I mentioned that Willem Dafoe is in this film. He plays another hitman whose preferred weapon of choice is a high-powered rifle with a massive sight on it.
Mm-hmm.
So as Keanu is tied to this chair, Willem Dafoe takes out one of the bad guys, and then Keanu proceeds to deal with the other guy while still being tied to the
with
chair.
With his hands tied behind his back.
Yes, he does actually manage it. And that I want to talk about the fight sequences in this film are, you know, the polar opposite of The Matrix and so many other sort of action movies that feature martial arts in which people appear to have been trained for like 30 years to be as proficient as they are when they're only like 15 or 16 years old, which is just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
All of the fight sequences in John Wick look like they're down and dirty street fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really dirty, almost not untrained, but certainly not massively martial arts trained people.
Not elegant, just effective.
No, it's just effective and messy and exactly what you would expect of something like this, of somebody who's in a rage.
My favourite example of a fight sequence that I thought was more like how real stuff happens is in Gross Point Blank.
Oh, yeah, in the corridor.
He does do a kick. So there is a point at which someone's obviously had some training.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it like he's showing off his karate skills.
No.
He does it because he wants to kick the other guy.
That's right.
And then he kills him by sticking a pen into his neck.
Which looks quite nasty.
Yeah.
It's a fountain pen, I think, isn't it? It's quite a nice.
Quite possibly.
Isn't it? It doesn't get as a gift from someone.
Ah, it could be, yeah.
But yeah, that is a very good example of a messy fight scene. Yeah, all of the fight scenes in John Wick are like that. So Keanu escapes. He then stops the mafia boss in the street with a massive gun and says, "Where's your son?" And the mafia boss says, "Well, I can't tell you." And Keanu says, "Look, I'm going to kill you if you don't tell me. And I want you to take the hit off me as well. I want all these contract guys off my back." So he says, "Yep, you can have that. And I'll tell you where he is." So he's in a hotel on the other side of town. And this is where we get to the second big set piece. Which is like a club hotel. It's like a hotel with a nightclub in the basement, and, you know, all kinds of things. And it's all very decadent and sort of Russian mobster-like. And there's a fantastic little scene outside the club where there's a doorman who's looking out towards the street. And we see the camera is looking at his face, and we see a gun come up behind him and press at the back of his neck, and it's John Wick, and he says to the guy, "Hello, you've lost weight." And the guy says, "Hello, Mr. Wick." And he tells him how much weight he's lost. And John Wick says, I think you should take the rest of the night off. And the guy takes his earpiece out of his ear and says, thank you, Mr. Wick, and just walks away. Because he doesn't want to be anywhere near what's about to kick off. So the place is crawling with, you know, Russian mobsters. It's crawling with them to protect the son. And, you know, John Wick goes through them like a knife through butter. And there's a lovely, really amazing shot when in the middle of a fight, he's just beaten this guy and this guy's tottering and he realizes, John Wick realizes he's out of bullets. So whilst this guy's tottering in front of him, he reloads and then shoots him in the head. And that sounds really contrived, but it just looks incredible. It's the kind of thing that, you know, to choreograph would take some time to get it right. So he tracks him down, but you know, this Russian mobster's kid is a slippery eel. He keeps getting away from him, and so John Wick takes some damage, and the final. I'm trying to think where the final showdown happens. Actually, oh yeah, it's down at the docks. Down at the docks, and he goes after the big guy at the end.
What, the dad?
He goes after the dad as well.
Okay.
And they have a massive showdown down by the docks, which is just incredible. And that's yeah. Is that John Wick? Yeah, and although Willem Dafoe is supposed to be hunting John Wick, he doesn't, because they're friends.
Right. Okay.
So although he accepts a large amount of money to kill him, he doesn't do it.
I see.
Because he has no love for the Russian mob.
Right. So a few things you've said made me think about computer games.
Yes.
It sounds a bit like a computer game.
Yes. I would say that's probably true. I think there is an element of. There's an element of things like Max Payne, I suppose.
Yeah, Max Payne was coming to mind, and The Getaway.
I've never played The Getaway, but you like The Getaway quite a lot.
The Getaway is an excellent game set in London, with lots of corny Cockney accents.
Right.
And you have to shoot your way through vast swathes of gang members and police and things like that.
Yeah, so I think there are definitely, this is definitely video game influenced. The two guys that directed it, they're co-directors. One of them worked has worked in the past as a stunt arranger and choreographer, most notably on the Matrix movies.
Right.
This is their debut feature, amazingly, which is just incredible, because it looks like it's the work of people who've been doing this for a long time. And I suppose they have been doing this for a long time. They just haven't been doing it front and center.
Haven't been in charge, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they've got the skills and they've got the knowledge to make a movie like this and make it really well. So that for me is what really makes it stand out from the pack. And I think that if Keanu wasn't in it, it probably would be a straight-to-video thing that would have disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound as highbrow as many of the things we've talked about on this podcast. Is that fair?
That's very fair. It's definitely not highbrow, but what it is, the reason why I wanted to talk about it is because it is, as I'm I frequently say on the radio show that I present, it's a singular piece of work. it's a work of passion. It's, you know, it's very skillful. So although it's not highbrow, like Interstellar or Nightcrawler or, you know, the stuff that we've talked about before, it's still a very well-crafted piece of work. And, you know, as I said, I think if Keanu wasn't in it, it wouldn't have the supporting cast that it has.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have gone straight to video. But because he is in it, it does have a great supporting cast. And it also has very, very nice production values. Yeah.
And it just sounds like it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. It's righteous. Yeah, it's a righteous movie.
You mean in the Bill and Ted sense?
Yeah, righteous.
As in it's good.
Yeah, non-heinous.
As I get older,
yeah,
I often find myself uncomfortable. You mentioned earlier liking violence. I often find myself uncomfortable enjoying violence.
Mm.
I definitely do, and I think that the atmosphere, you know, the feel of the film changes how you ought to feel about violence.
Yes, yes.
And a kind of comic book style violence definitely can be fun, and I think I generally feel fairly comfortable with that. But how do you feel about what's its attitude to violence?
Okay, well, it's not exploitive. Its attitude towards violence is comic book. It is not realistic. But having said that, you know, I did mention that the fight scenes are very gritty. And I'm not going to say they're realistic, because I've never actually seen people fight like that before. But they are how I would imagine stuff like that would go down in reality. So although it is comic book, it's serious, you know. It's not winking at the audience.
Yeah, like many real comic books are, you know, trying to get to the dark heart of things.
Yeah, and it you know, I would compare it to, you know, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight movies in that regard, in the way that they try and deal with some serious subjects whilst presenting a man walking around in a bat suit. Mm-hmm. Which is just ludicrous, but those films work because they get you to believe in it, and that's what John Wick does. It gets you to believe in the premise that this guy can be almost unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. So is it fun because he's an underdog or because he's a superhero? Or?
It's fun. Yes. I'd say it's fun because he's on a mission and he's got one thing to do and he's got nothing left. And a man who's got nothing left to live for is extremely dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Payback.
Yeah, it is a lot like that. And, you know, this is a man who's lost everything. He's lost, first of all, his wife, then his dog, and then his car. And that's it. He's got nothing else to live for. He's on a killing spree. But it doesn't glorify in it. It's all of the violence that happens for a reason. It's not gratuitous in that respect. So, you know, case in point, the scene with the doorman, that could have been scripted differently so that he shot the doorman.
Yeah.
But actually, there's no reason to do that. Yeah. So the scene where he gives him the opportunity to leave is actually handled really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the violence is because certain people need to be punished and...
Yeah.
He's going to punish them.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
And that's the satisfaction of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean... Well, not you. I think I, as the viewer, really wanted Alfie Allen's character to have his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because he's a dirtbag. You know? Yeah. He's a dirtbag, and that's that. And when that finally happens... as with all revenge things, it's not satisfying because although he you know, gets retribution, he's still lost everything.
Right.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, and it's potentially much more satisfying for us in the audience than it is for him.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So, that's there. That's pretty much the movie.
Having seen the trailer and heard you talk about it,
yeah,
even though I think it's pretty much vacuous, I'm really looking forward to watching it.
It is definitely vacuous, but it is short, I think it's like an hour and 40 minutes, so
it's almost ideal.
I
mean, there are things which have a great impact, even though they're vacuous, like The Matrix.
Yeah.
Which is all style, but
what style?
For me, it's an important film, I'm very glad I watched it.
Yeah. I don't think John Wick is a particularly important film. It's not going to be like most of the films that we've talked about prior to this one,
mm-hmm.
that will probably live forever in sort of some film archive somewhere. I doubt that John Wick will do that. But it does bring something fresh to a pretty tired genre, you know, the genre of the revenge thriller. It brings something fresh to that. Which,
I love a revenge thriller.
Yeah, another revenge thriller, but this one looks and feels different.
No, I said I love a revenge.
Oh, you love thriller. Yes. Yeah. It's a film about one thing.
It sounds like it should go on my bookshelf next to Payback.
I think it would sit very well next to Payback. Yeah.
And that is high praise from me.
Yeah, no, I think it would. I think you would enjoy it a great deal. I can't say that everyone would enjoy it a great deal.
Yeah.
I was explaining it to my wife earlier, and she was saying, so what's it all about? And she said, I don't think I want to watch a dog be killed. I said, well, you don't see it. It's off screen.
I was just about to say, it sounds like one that I might be able to persuade my wife to watch because there's no psychological cruelty to children or anything like that.
But a dog does get killed.
There's nothing to make you cry. But then you mention the dog. Mm. But I think probably she wouldn't care about the dog at all, so that'd be fine.
I mean, you don't see it happen. You hear it happen, like with so many things. You hear the dog go in the background.
The universal noise of a dog dying.
And then it... He wakes up and it's crawled over to be next to him. And there's a big trail of blood on the floor. It's really quite like, yeah, okay, John Wick, you need to go and get these guys now, kind of thing. You know,
they killed your dog.
Just don't wait. Don't think about it. Just go and do it. they killed my dog.
I'm thinking I'm back. Cool. Well, that sounds really good. I'll quickly ask you what the point of it is.
What's the point of John Wick?
Is that a difficult one to answer?
It is quite difficult. It's quite nihilistic, actually, in many ways. But I think the point of John Wick is that it shows you that when you've lost everything, you can do anything. Yeah.
Is the point of it really the same reason why you would buy a chocolate bar when you're not hungry?
Yeah.
It's just pure pleasure.
It's pure entertainment. Yeah, of the very best kind. If you like this sort of thing. Obviously, if you don't like this sort of thing, then you wouldn't watch it in the first place. But if you do like this kind of thing, it is head and shoulders above everything else. You know, above everything that, you know, the likes of the people who make the movies, those Transporter movies with Jason Statham and the Crank movies with Jason Statham and those type of things. It is streets ahead of those in its style.
Right. So you would say that it's the same kind of film, it's just really well done.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the ballpark of that kind of thing, but it's so well done.
Yeah.
So that's the point of it. Is the world a better place for it, though? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'll have to tell you after I've watched it.
I think so.
Sounds like it. I mean, good art has value.
I think, to address that thing about good art, I think that this film does what it does extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can really expect of it. That's all that you need.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is what that game... I've forgotten the game that you mentioned.
Max Payne.
Max Payne does what it does really well,
yeah,
I think.
I've heard that. Wasn't that a post-Matrix release that features, like, bullet time stuff in it? You can do bullet time.
There is a concept of bullet time. I don't know whether it's post-Matrix or not.
Okay.
There is actually a Matrix game that features bullet time as well,
you would
which
hope
is quite
so.
Fun. it's really rather good. Often these things aren't, but that one is.
Okay, that's cool.
That is cool.
That is John Wick, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So let's end by saying you can find us, if you found this podcast somewhere, you don't know where to find the rest of them. If you just search using your favorite search engine for the Good Robot Andes, the Good Robot Andes, you'll find our website where you can subscribe to our podcast RSS feed. You can also find us on iTunes. I believe to find us on iTunes, you would search for the Good Robot Andes. Is
correct.
That, right?
That is correct. Yes.
We're also on something else. They're one of these other things.
We're also on TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio.
Yes. Which I'm told is quite a popular platform.
Right. And we're on, I think I signed us up for something else. So we might be on that too.
I think you did.
We had an altercation with YouTube, so we're not on YouTube anymore.
No.
But if you leave a comment on the blog saying you want us to be on YouTube, you never know, we might come back to YouTube.
We might.
If although, we can be bothered.
Although we are in so many other places, why do we need to be?
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
You should get us using our RSS feed instead of using some evil external service.
And we love feedback, so please leave comments on the on the blog site, because we love feedback and we will read out the stuff that you put in there. We promise.
We love feedback because it's evidence that more than zero people are listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Do some plugging, Andy.
Okay, plugging. I host a radio show on a radio station called Glastonbury FM, where I live in Somerset in England. That is on Thursdays between 6 and 7 p.m. I review about 3 movies every week, pick out a long list of movies that are on TV at the weekend, play lots of music that doesn't have a playlist. I just play whatever I want. That's what I do. What do you do, Andy?
Lots of very cool music, lots of ideas for what to watch on TV, and no spoilers.
No spoilers on the radio show. That's right.
Things I do, you can find, but all this stuff you can find links to from, if you go to the Good Robot Andy's website, there's an about link near the top right of the page. If you click on that, you can find links to our stuff. I make YouTube videos. I released one today, actually, about how to use GitHub.
Ah, yes.
As part of a series about Git that I've been doing.
Right.
So you can find YouTube videos that will teach you how to, if you find Git very confusing, if you don't know what Git is, you probably don't want to watch them. although, to be honest, you know, if you want to, if you're curious about how there could be something called Git, isn't that a rude word? Well, then I think probably my videos are the place to find out more about it.
I think so, yes.
Anyway, programming-related videos and a game on Android on the Google Play Store called Rabbit Escape, which is a game in which you have to rescue some rabbits that are, if you don't rescue them, they're going to kind of fall off the edge or get blown up or something. It's like Lemmings, but, you know, it kind of works nicely on a phone.
It's very good.
You can also get it for your computer.
Computer.
Or you can download it. Yeah, computer.
Computer.
And you can download it for your phone for free as well. If you can't afford the 60p that it costs on the Google Play Store, go to its website, which you could probably find by Googling for Rabbit Escape. I don't know.
I think you probably can.
If not, you can find it linked from our About page.
Excellent.
And you can download it for free onto your phone or your computer.
Very good.
We're about to make a new release with 20 more levels.
Oh, what? Really?
You don't have to pay any more for this. If you've already paid your 60p, you just get them for free.
That's absurd.
It is absurd. There are no adverts. No in-app purchases.
Okay, sign me up.
I could probably go on.
Yeah, you probably could.
I probably shouldn't.
I think that's it.
That's it. See you next time.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Bye.